Hello, and welcome to the BTG Podcast. I am your host, Jen Fable, of BTG Wellness and LiveLifeUnbroken.com. BTG stands for Bridge the Gap, and it is inspired by my own healing journey. After receiving 7 different mental health diagnoses by the age of 19, I quickly realized that there was a massive gap between what I believed and understood in my head and what I truly felt in my heart. And no matter how many therapists I went to, I couldn't seem to bridge that gap until I found the tools and information that I share in my one-on-one private sessions, trainings, and right here on this podcast. My goal is to help you begin to bridge that gap by bringing you different topics related to mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. And in case you didn't know, this podcast is recorded live during my weekly Zoom virtual healing circles. These are weekly virtual gatherings that are 100% free, and no RSVP is required. So you are welcome to come whenever you can and stay as long as you want. Each week, we open the space with a candle meditation, after which I will share with you my favorite grounding practices and lead you through a circle casting, guided meditation, and breath work, followed by a soul-inspiring gratitude practice. If you are interested in learning more about how you can continue your journey and experience my virtual healing circles in real time, please visit www.btgwellness.com/circle and join my free circle membership. Of course, if you like what you hear in today's episode, please remember to leave a review and share the love by sharing this episode with your friends, family, and social network. And as always, if you have any questions, please know you can always reach out to me through my website at www.btgwellness.com or through email or social media. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Virtual Healing Circle with me, Jen Fable of BTG Wellness and LiveLifeUnbroken.com. And tonight I want to talk to you about how to make peace with the darkness. Now, when I said that, how many of you thought darkness like evil or that heavy stuff or that place in us where all the ugly stuff hides? And how many of you thought about your light? So many of us forget that our darkness and the darkness only exists in contrast to light. Without light, you can't have darkness. They define each other. Where there is light, there's a space where that light ends. And where that light ends, there will be, by definition, darkness. So when we talk about making peace with the darkness, we don't mean getting rid of it. We don't mean shining our light so bright that there never exists darkness again. The more we shine our light, the more we define the darkness. Therefore, life is not about avoiding the darkness because it must exist as long as your light exists. Making peace with the darkness means knowing that darkness is an inevitable part and a very necessary part of the cycles of our world, and that we're part of those cycles. So I'm really excited to talk to you about this tonight. So why is this important? This is important because nature follows cycles. We are part of nature, much to our humanness chagrin. And so many of us try to fight the natural cycles of our world, which leads to a lot of pain. This is important because all life on this planet has some period where the growth gets slowed down, where dormancy is entered. We're going to talk about what that means. And again, we're no different. And this is important because knowing how to move with these natural cycles gives your body time to rejuvenate, to replenish, to restore its life force energy so that it can shine its light. Now, everywhere you look in nature, especially this time of year in the Northern Hemisphere, we've got beautiful leaves changing color. We've got the fall pumpkin spice sweater weather starting to show up for us. It's a really good reminder that we are part of natural cycles. As much as we love the summer with its heat and its activity and its abundance and its growth, that can't last forever. There has to be times where the soil rests, where the darkness comes. Now, in the Northern Hemisphere of our planet, we are experiencing this now as a part of winter. And this is a time when the days get shorter, the nights get longer, the light begins to dim, and we find ourselves surrounded by more darkness. And in this darkness, we often think our job is to be more light, to do more things, forgetting that we're part of a cycle and that this cycle exists for a reason, and that our bodies respond to this cycle in predictable ways. Now, if you're part of any hippie groups like I am, you know everyone's already starting to talk about the winter solstice, the epic wonder of darkness, the moment of time when the days are the shortest and the nights are the longest. Not a lot of people know about why we have the winter solstice from like a nerd perspective, so I'm going to nerd it up for you a little bit. So the reason we have a winter solstice, the reason we have a day or a moment in time where the day is short and the night is so long, is because the Earth is not exactly up and down on its axis. It's not a full 90 degrees to its path around the sun, to its orbit. It's tilted a little. It's actually tilted 23.5 degrees on its plane relative to the orbit around the sun. Now, fun fact, that tilt actually changes every 40,000 years or so. It can vary anywhere from 22.1 to 24.5. It kind of wobbles. They call that a precession. Nerd fun stuff. But the reason that we have winter is because when this axis is tilted away from the sun, we're literally getting less light. We're not getting as much warmth. As the Earth hits the peak of this part of the orbit, we end up with a place where we have a very, very, very short day and a very long night. A moment in time when there is way more darkness than there is light. And that's part of the natural cycle of things. When there is darkness, a good part of the Earth goes into dormancy. Dormancy is a time when the activity of any organism that you're studying, that activity is halted temporarily. The trees lose their leaves and look dead. They're not dead, they're dormant. We know that because the leaves come back in the next cycle. Dormancy exists because our planet evolved to be able to survive environments where being active all the time would be detrimental. It is not safe for the tree to have leaves all the time. It evolved to shed its leaves for a reason. Most of the organisms on our planet go through these cycles of dormancy, of this moment of rest, of quiet, of darkness. And this evolved over time to promote survival. Now, in terms of the types of dormancies that you'll notice on the planet, I did have to nerd out a bit for you as well there. There's actually five different types of dormancy. I think this is cool because, again, we tend to think that we're apart from these cycles somehow. But if it happens to every other organism in some capacity, why not us? So most of us, when we think of dormancy, we think of like a seed in the earth, or we think of like bears hibernating. Hibernation is actually only one type of dormancy. There's something called estivation. This is similar to hibernation, where there's a reduction in the metabolic activity. That means the energy systems of the body slow way down. The creature and the organism becomes very inactive. You'll see this type of dormancy in very high temperatures or very dry, like desert-like conditions. So we're talking things like crocodiles, the desert tortoise, salamanders. What I find interesting is even as humans, we do recognize this in some capacity. If you've ever gone on vacation in very, very hot countries, you know that during the hottest hours of the day, everything shuts down. People retreat inside where it's cool and dark, and they nap and they rest. So even as humans, we're not immune from this type of cycle. There is hibernation. Hibernation is neat because it means that 95% of their metabolic functions goes away. So if their heartbeat is like 100 beats a minute, it goes down to 5 beats a minute. Their breathing slows down, their body temperature slows down. And you'll see this in bears, in squirrels, mice, butterflies actually hibernate. I thought that was kind of cool. There's a type of dormancy known as diapause. This one is where there's massive metabolic activity that gets lowered in response to very drastic environments. If you've ever taken like a fly and stuck them in the freezer and you're pretty sure they're dead, and then they come out and they're still flying around once they warm up, this is an example of diapause. You'll see this in all life stages of arthropods. That's things like spiders, millipedes, centipedes, crustaceans, so crabs. And there's about 130 known species of fish and mammals that go into this state as well. Brumation is a form of dormancy that reptiles experience, lasts for about 8 months, is triggered by a decrease in daylight and an onset of cold weather. And then torpor is similar to hibernation, but it's an involuntary state. With hibernation, the creature, the organism, knows that it's coming. They plan for it. They stockpile. Bears, like, put on more fat. They eat more. They know it's happening, so it's done with intention, versus torpor, where it's involuntary. They just suddenly shut down in response to an extreme temperature. It sometimes happens over periods of the amount of light, so at nighttime or through the day, depending on if they're nocturnal or diurnal, which is active during the day. What I think is neat is that when they wake up from torpor, it takes about an hour. And during that time, the critter will experience violent shaking and muscle contractions. You'll see this in raccoons and skunks. And they use it as a way to survive the winter. Pretty much every creature on this planet has a built-in mechanism that makes it slow down, that makes it go inside. And this is a necessary part for its survival. They're not just doing this because, meh, they have nothing else to do and they're lazy. I find it interesting that when you plant a seed, if it doesn't go into a dormant state, it can't grow. It will die without the dormancy. This is a naturally evolved response, and being part of this planet doesn't get us off the hook from going through and needing this. The problem is that we humans are stubborn, and we have a conscious mind, and we have goals on a vision board, so we ignore our natural cycles. And when we do that, our body responds in ways to get us to turn inside, to get us to slow down. And for some of us, we start to listen. And if we don't, that's where you might find it start getting labeled in certain ways. A lot of us have heard of seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. It's been labeled as a type of depression, even though they really don't know if that's what it is. They really don't know what it is, and they're not really sure what causes it. They suspect it's connected to serotonin and melatonin, which responds to light. And it makes sense because we're going through the darkness of the winter months. We're going to a space where we're being called to slow down, to withdraw, to sleep more, to rest, which is exactly what having seasonal affective disorder causes us to do. Is that our body responding to a cycle and us fighting it? Or is that an actual problem? A lot of the symptoms are symptoms that you'd be labeled as dormancy if it was another species. This lowered metabolic state, sadly, that means our genes might not fit as much. We fight this by doing more at the gym. But if we continue to do, when do we have time to just be? Making peace with the darkness means making peace with knowing that we're allowed to just be, that doing is a part of the cycle, but it can only be defined by also a lack of doing. It is the contrast that defines one another, light, dark, doing, being. And in a society where we revere doing and doing and doing, we've forgotten about the being. We've forgotten about how to be alone. And we started to label and get confused between the idea of solitude and isolation. The winter months call for solitude, but that doesn't mean isolation. They've actually found in countries like in Denmark, where they gather together during the winter months, and they socialize in calm ways, in nurturing ways, in just companionship. No massive parties, no big like white elephant games, just getting together to be together. In those kinds of societies, they don't find as many symptoms of seasonal affective disorder, even though they have just as much darkness. They have learned that solitude is different from isolation, and they've learned to give themselves space for solitude. So solitude is the state or situation of being alone. It's being alone. We talked a bunch of healing circles ago about the idea of privacy and how it's a basic human need. It's about having a space where no one else can see you. Solitude is a necessary part of self-regeneration and healing. It's how we get a space for dormancy, for rest. We can't go dormant when we're on with others. Solitude is what gives us the strength and the energy to shine our light, to be fully present. Isolation, on the other hand, is the experience of feeling separated from others, and we all know that you can feel this way even in a crowd. It doesn't have to do with the number of people around you. Isolation pulls us away from community, and we isolate when we don't give ourselves space for solitude, and we get them confused. So the big question is, great, how do we do this? There's a really cool concept I was introduced to recently by my own coach called wintering. Wintering was talked about in a book called, surprise, Wintering, The Power of Rest and Retreat in Difficult Times. It's by Catherine May. She's an internationally best-selling author. She's a podcaster. She lives in the UK. I think her podcast is called How We Live Now. Apparently, it's like in the top 1% worldwide. And she talks about her story and about how she learned how to do something she calls wintering. Wintering is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for those times in our life when we feel frozen out, when we feel trapped in the dark, when we don't realize we've been planted, we feel buried. Wintering, while it does get induced by the literal physical cycles of our world as a result of our planet's path around the sun, the concept of wintering can refer to any time in our life where we don't know what to do, where we feel stuck or frozen or completely immobilized and not sure how to take the next step. In a world of vision boards and, hey, I'm going to say it, the coaching industry, a lot of coaches will tell you do more, go harder, go faster. And that's wonderful when balanced. When we hit the wintering part of the cycle, whether that's physically in winter and it's actually snowing outside or just the winter of a moment of your life where things got cold for you, it means that we need to go into a space of dormancy. We need to turn inwards. We need to stop shining our light for the purpose of other people and then go inside and nourish our own light. When the light outside of us is dim, this is when we need to reestablish our connection to our internal light, which requires solitude. So how to winter? Step one, slow the fuck down. Slow down. It is so hard in North America and probably other places in the world. I live in North America. So to get yourselves out of this feeling of having to be always on the go during the holiday season. So many people talk about this time of the year, this time when every single holiday talks about bringing the light inside. That's not accidental. No matter what you celebrate, there is some celebration of light, the bringing of lights indoors, the lighting up our spaces with twinkly lights. When it's time to find the darkness, we need to slow down in order to make peace with it. We need to find some solitude. And that even means that in the hustle and bustle of, you know, Hallmark Christmas season, taking a moment, slowing down, light candles, spend time in the light. Now, you can buy an actual light box if you believe that seasonal affective disorder is something that you're struggling with. And if it's just about light, fill your world with light. Literal, metaphorical, literally light candles. Eat warm, soothing foods and spices. There's a reason all the recipes this time of year have things like nutmeg and cinnamon and pumpkin spice. They're warming. This is what our body needs. It needs to be nourished. You can winter and make peace with the darkness by giving yourself time alone when you need it. Yes, that means you're going to need to learn how to set boundaries. Ba, 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 ba. I do lots of podcasts on that if you need to catch up on that. You can also find information on my website. You can winter by journaling. Explore your own inner world. The darkness is a time to make peace with and know your own light as well. Notice what you did over the last summer. What did you reap? What did you sow? What did you plant? What do you want to plant again? Reevaluate your goals. Take a moment. Breathe. Evaluate things. Practice just being. Take a step back. Give yourself space. That's what the darkness calls for. Making peace with it doesn't mean drowning it out with light. Making peace with the darkness is about embracing it and using it as a time for healing. So some key concepts to remember. Remember that despite all our modern conveniences and bosses breathing down our neck and like devices and Hallmark movies and Christmas carols and all the fun stuff of the season, we're part of this planet and our bodies still follow the ebbs and flows of the cycles of nature, whether we like it or not. Remember that the darkness is about slowing down. that winter is about slowing down. It's a time to evaluate. It's a time to rest. It's a time to recuperate from all the doingness of the summer season, both literal and metaphorical. And remember that feeling safe in the darkness comes from knowing how to use that time to nourish your own light. I shine my light so bright, I ignite the light in others is beautiful. And it can't happen without nourishing our own light. And as always, I want to remind you to decide you want it more than you're afraid of it. Slowing down in a world that tells you that slowing down means you're lazy or incompetent or selfish, it's going to bring up all sorts of feely feels. So just decide you want it more than you're afraid of it. That's always the decision that will take you to the next step and help you make peace with the darkness. And as always, if you have any questions about tonight's circle or podcast, please know you can always reach out to me through either of my websites, either btgwellness.com or livelifeunbroken.com, or through email or through social media.
I don't think I mind it. I don't think I make good use of that time, though. I just kind of like not do anything. Like I don't reflect. I just kind of like watch TV and distract myself. So I think it would be good to do, like, I know it's like, I know do less, but I think it would be good to do like reflect and maybe read, you know, the book that you recommended, and like, I don't know about journaling, but you know, stuff like that, instead of distracting myself and just waiting for the time to pass.
I hear that. And what would happen if in those moments your body just needed the time to pass?
I think I use that a lot. I just kind of like distract myself, and then things don't get done, and then it's time to go do other things, and I'm like, but I haven't done all these things that I wanted to do because it's been procrastinating.
Right.
I think it needs to be a better balance. I don't think it needs to be a full stop towards, you know, let's get all the wintering stuff done. I think there needs to be a balance between just like watching TV and playing on my phone and like waiting for them to pass by, and actually like actively wintering and getting some stuff done here, or like reading a book.
So I love how often you use the word doing in describing that you didn't want to do. So this is kind of the trap we get caught into, right? Dormancy means stillness, and adding a bunch of things to your to-do list isn't really the goal. So it's about asking, how can I nourish myself right now? It's about evaluating, how good have I been at doing, and how good have I been at stillness? And stillness can look like a lot of things. So if stillness is always only ever numbing out and not doing anything else, there's still an imbalance there. Doesn't mean that the stillness is not warranted, but could there be other ways of bringing stillness in without having it to be something on a to-do list?
Yeah. What I'm getting a lot is like meditation and stuff, which I have been wanting to do. I just haven't been like, you know, like turning off the TV and go sit and meditate, you know, or I bought a couple of books, like sit still and read. And I used to read like a lot, and I love reading, and it's just, you know, it's just like, yeah, that's what I mean in terms of balance, I guess. I'm not sure that makes sense.
It does. It does. Okay. And there's a difference between reading something for pure guilty pleasure and reading something because I should read that because I should be working on myself right now. Okay. Right? One will still keep you in the doing side, even though the activity is still reading.
Yeah.
Wintering is about slowing down and doing things that nourish ourselves. That doesn't mean things we should do. It means doing things that actually make us feel good. And for some of us, that means more time watching TV. When you're watching TV, though, watch something that gives you the warm and fuzzies. So it's about the intention. It's about the intention. You can say, so, you know, tonight, I, instead of having tea, I'm having a turmeric milk because I just wanted those warm spices. Okay. Just something to nourish. Now, I'm still having to do something right now. Right? And balance. Can I bring in some nourishment even when, right? The light and darkness, it's not a defined edge. And so it gets to be a space where we play and experiment. And if it's taking more energy to do the thing, it's probably not wintering. Okay. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a balance again. It's how we get it. It's how we screw ourselves over and, you know, guilty all the time. Right? It's, we also forget that there are phases of our life that are by definition winter. My coach runs a really cool program called Replenish. I think if you look up Vanessa Long Replenish, you'll probably find it. It's this online thing. And she's talking about how for women, especially as we move into perimenopause, menopause, we're moving out of the spring and summer part of the cycle into more of the winter space. It's about turning inside. It's about realigning with our values. It's about slowing down. In a society where you have to just get Botox and Restylane and keep on going, most of us resist our own personal wintering. We resist slowing down because we're not supposed to. And we need the rest. Whether we like it or not, we're part of these cycles. And when we don't take the rest for ourselves, our body will do it for us.
How do you make peace with the expectations of the outside world? So for me, one of the things that really hit when you talked about how they live in Denmark, which is actually where I'm from initially. So I very much know what that's like and that experience and that feeling. And trying to do that here, I can do it on my own, but with other people, or people say, well, you get the questions, well, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing this? How come you haven't had time for this? Shouldn't you be, you know, A, B, or C? This needs to get done. That needs to get done. And I find I don't get the understanding that saying, well, I actually need to spend some time just being.
Right.
But it makes me feel guilty that I'm not doing or living up to being busy as everybody else is. I feel guilty.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay.
I don't like that feeling, though.
No, we don't. And so instead, we run ourselves into the ground for fear of feeling a little icky because we had to say to someone, no, thank you. Well, but then they're not going to like me, or they're going to judge me, or they're going to yell at me. Yeah. And then I'm going to feel bad about it. Yeah. I'm going to feel real bad, though, when I run myself into the ground doing all that stuff and not giving myself space. So it's not about choosing. So this is, again, how we get ourselves stuck. A lot of us will choose to harm ourselves so that we don't have to feel the guilt. So instead, we hold on to the other pain. But why is that other pain okay? They're both icky feelings. Yeah, they're both icky feelings. The difference is that one icky feeling requires me to shine my light. And one icky feeling requires me to tend to other people's light. Both come with like a weird icky feeling. Sometimes we just choose a different icky feeling.
Right. I have a tendency to choose to tend to others before myself.
Mm-hmm.
That is the difference.
Yeah. And a lot of us get, you know, I shine my light so bright, I ignite the light in others. We get caught up in this idea that, well, I have to ignite the light in others. No. You don't have to. You have to tend to your light. And when you tend to your light, you're capable, if you want to, of sharing that light, but you don't have to. It's a choice. I offer my candle to the person next to me when we do this at retreat, not out of obligation, because I want to. I also don't have to. I can say, yeah, it's okay. Find out the third light. That's all right as well. Find someone else to light your light. Learn how to light your own light. Rub some sticks together. Get your own light started. Right? We tend to forget that this idea of shine my light so bright I ignite the light in others is not about the other people's light. It's about our own. And yeah, in a society where we're taught, make sure everyone else's light is lit. And if other people believe, well, I don't know how to light my own light, you got to do it for me, then we're going to feel icky. But we also feel icky taking care of their light and ignoring ours. So I'm just to ask you to choose a different icky.
And when it comes to fixing things or working and people sort of on the outside, I find, are very judgmental. Well, why are you relaxing when you should be working? This needs to be fixed in your house. Or if you worked harder, you wouldn't have a broken car, or, you know, et cetera.
Yeah. Yep. That's how we like to keep ourselves stuck. And we talked last time about how they're just parts. And a lot of us have that. A lot of us have that. This fear that if I take care of myself, I'll be labeled as selfish or not good enough. And so we also tell ourselves that we keep ourselves away from our lights. And then we're only in the dark.
I needed that reminder. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Winter is winter, but we're not meant to live there. It's meant to be a part of a cycle. So if we're never letting ourselves get to spring and summer, then winter is very long and very cold. Take the time to replenish, and then make sure that you allow that seed to grow. And no one else wants your seed to grow. They don't care. They're all tired. They're all paying attention to their seeds and their trees and all their stuff. Honestly, that's okay. Does that answer the question?
Yes.
Good. Good. Very cool.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
There was a reel of Matthew Lang, and I'm not sure what the question was, but he's like, you know, I'm really good at doing nothing. He's like, I love doing nothing. And I'm really good at doing nothing. And I look forward to doing nothing when, you know, when he has time off and stuff. And I'm like, and he just like owned it. I'm just like, that's awesome. And I remember seeing some things with Zendaya as well. And because they asked her how like she spends her free time. She's like, I stay home and I sleep and I eat pizza. And she's like, that is what she wants to do. She's like, that's what I do in my spare times. I stay home and I sleep and I eat pizza. And I was like, that's owning, like doing nothing. You know, that's awesome. And I just realized how awesome this is because before I was just like, oh, that's really cool. Okay, nice, you know, regular people. And I just realized now like how awesome that is that they just owned it, and they owned it in front of like millions of people. And they're like, I don't care what they all think. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and that's going to be nothing.
Wait, so you didn't see her taking care of herself and think, wow, what a selfish bitch. But when you do it, other people will think that of you? Interesting how we like that double standard.
Right?
Yeah, when we see other people owning it, it's inspiring. So go inspire others by being supremely selfish. Take care of yourself, not instead of others ever. Because again, balance.
Yeah.
Balance. But yeah, when we see other people owning it and saying, yeah. Now, if we were to sit at home and do nothing and eat pizza, how many of us would be like, oh, God, I should be cleaning the house. I should at least be reading a book. How many of us wouldn't let ourselves and we judge ourselves for it? Yet when we see someone else do it, we're like, fuck yeah, way to go. Like, that's how it actually appears to the outside world. The story we tell ourselves that they're going to hate us and all that, maybe some people don't get it. That's fine. I actually had this conversation with my husband because I'm like, I've been called to slow down a little bit in certain aspects of my business, right? I need a rejuvenation period before I gear back up. So this time of year, I take a lot of time off. I've changed my program so that I can see people, but in a way that still nourishes myself. And my husband's like, but you could be seeing like three times as many people. You've got all these gaps in your schedule. I'm like, yeah. He's like, you could be like making more and doing more stuff. I'm like, I could be. Yeah. He's like, well, why aren't you? I'm like, no, thank you. No, I'm not going to kill myself for my business because then I can't do what I love. I have to make sure that I have these amazing cycles of spring where I plant new seeds and they grow, and these wonderful cycles of summer where I get to experience this growth that I created for myself. And I also have to have seasons of fall where things start to change. And things that don't fit anymore move around, not die off, but change. And I have to have seasons of winter where I rest. I learned this the hard way by going through burnout a gazillion times. And I still fight this to some degree. You know, my sister's a personal trainer, and I always see all these videos she posts, and her body seems to be able to have more energy than mine does in its normal state. And I always feel like, I should be exercising more. I should at least go for a walk. And there's some days my body's like, no, you need to sit still. And if I don't listen, it gets loud and it makes me. So I've learned how to honor this winter season in my life through the school of 2x4s to my face. I share this in the hopes that you don't need it. Right? And most of us need at least some slapping around by the universe before we realize to slow down. And some of us, it comes in little tiny whispers. And some of us, it comes in screams. And some of us, it comes in terrible diagnoses that force us to do it. Either way, we're part of the natural cycles. And like it or not, dormancy is a necessary evolutionary trait of survival. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. The expectations of others doesn't change how our bodies work. And when we witness others actually taking care of themselves, it's inspiring. Stop withholding your inspiration from the world because the little voices in your head are being dipshits. Thank you again for joining me for this episode of the BTG podcast, which stands for Bridge the Gap, with me, Jen Fable. Remember, if you want to experience my virtual healing circles in real time, visit www.btgwellness.com/circle. And of course, if you have any questions at any time, please know you're always welcome to reach out to me through social media or through my websites at btgwellness.com or through my coaching website, livelifeunbroken.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.